Thank you, Lord. Let's receive our evening offering this evening and give you a chance to raise your income. Praise God. You missed a place to shout right there, that you need to get used to this now. Amen. Glory to God. Of course, all of our offerings will go toward the outreaches of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and especially Kenneth Copeland Ministries Canada. And it is, and the territories under which the Canadian office is. Shigama. Tevrema hombo breves dies to sinemahan tetke. Inge und uet genyandos dog sisik pukukla nam en bremenesto. Stelogla hamalana. Lelo lendilek inkren in stelest karatak. The movement of the Spirit of God that has been prayed over, called down, cried over, died over, sought after. People crying for the lives of other people throughout this entire North American continent, but most especially in these territories and in these places in which we sit tonight. Centuries. People crying and dying, knowing it's coming.
Yes.
Knowing that there is a move of God beyond anything human eyes have ever seen. Knowing it's coming. Prophets have prophesied of it. People have prayed, seeing it in the Spirit. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we are in the first rains of a major flood. It has already begun. Amen. Now, I said that by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this. This is me talking, all right? But well, I'm still speaking of the Spirit, but on a different level. People, like my good partner here, Bill Pranker. See, generations before us would have done it if they could have done it. They would have. If they had had the equipment, they would have. If they had had the operational media that we have today, they would have. They gave their lives for it. But don't ever think that they went in vain, because it's their seed that we're harvesting today. Amen. That's the anointing that have come on men and women that have come up and stood up and been raised up by God and have moved into the places that heretofore men thought you couldn't even go there. But we're going there, and we are there, and things are happening now. So rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. For the time has come, saith the Lord, and great things are in store, and you will see it. You'll see it. David, could we? I didn't really think I was going to show this soon, but I'd like to show those pictures from last year when we were in Nigeria, and then the one that we took this year. All three of those pictures, please. Are you set up where you can do that? All right, you see that? A year ago, in fact, year ago last week, this is kind of a picture of the times, okay? I mean, last week I was in Canaan Land, Nigeria, preaching as 105 degrees, and I woke up this morning, it's snowing, you know? I mean, you can't do that without a fast airplane, you understand? But now, a year ago, we were there and had a ministers' conference, and ministers came in from all over the world. All continents were represented. And then on Sunday morning, they have five services on Sunday, and the church seats 54,000. So you figure it out for yourself. And we had a great time. Well, then last October, Bishop Oyedepo, pastor of the church and founder of that ministry, called me. He said this last October, and he said, I need to come see you. I have some things I want to talk to you about, and I got something I want to show you. So he brought this with him. He said, Brother Copeland, since you were there last May, like I said, this in October, he said, we've had 138,000 people come into the church. So he said, our pastoral staff has been very busy. Well, they have a nice sized pastoral staff. Well, you have to have, you know, anyway. And he said, some years ago, a gunshot wound destroyed his elbow. So they did an elbow replacement. And he said, ever since then, he had had pain in that elbow, just really, really bad for several years. And the Lord said to him, he said, you've been working really hard with all the new people coming into the church. He said, go to bed tonight, get a good night's sleep. I'm going to work for you. He said, okay. So he goes to bed and goes to sleep. The next morning, he wakes up. That is the artificial elbow. It was lying by his side on the bed with a new elbow joint. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He never woke up. He didn't know. He didn't know it happened. No pain. Pain's gone. Amen. Now I'll show you a picture of the man. And on that flat steel part there is all of the identification, the doctor's signature, and all of the serial numbers and everything are on there. And this is the young man with the new elbow right there. Praise God. Amen. Now, I want to show you something else. We left on Sunday. I preached the first two services. I preached to 108,000 that morning. And went right straight to the airport because we were headed to South Africa after that service, and Pastor finished up the other three services. We got to the airport, and I walked out and stepped up on the step of the airplane. And just as I did, you have that other picture, please? Now, I bragged on the technology guys. All right. The three guys on the far end, those three, walked up to me, did not say a word, had a new bottle of olive oil, and just handed it to me and got on their knees. Didn't say anything. Now, these people work. This is at Lagos International Airport. You understand?
Yeah.
These guys work on the ramp there. And just as I started to lay hands on them, the next two came running up, and they just got on their knees. Well, the one on the end there, he saw what was happening, and he was around on the side of a hangar. He came running across there and kind of slid up there. Amen. And as I laid hands on the first one, I heard myself say, I anoint you with the oil of gladness to prosper and be in good health before the Lord. Amen. And I heard the Lord say, this is coming to America. These same signs and wonders. Amen. This same kind of thing, this is going to be happening in airports all across the United States and Canada, all down through South America. I'm telling you, it in a lot of places where we're going now, we're seeing it already take place and already happen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? And you and I get to be in it. We're a part of it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Amen. Glory to God. This is very special on my heart tonight. If you would, open your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And while you're turning to that opening, Gloria sends her love, and she was in Africa with me last week, and both of us have been going a lot and going awfully strong. And so we covet your prayers. And she sends her love and said, God bless you. I imagine she's watching right now. Glory to God. So say, hi, Gloria.
Hi, Gloria.
And when we first went on daily television, the Lord had to really talk to me about that. I thought I was already busy. I was. And here we're going on daily television. And I talked with my spiritual father about it, Oral Roberts. And I said, sir, I told him what I believe the Lord had told me to do. And he said, Kenneth, let me tell you about daily television. I thought, amen, here it comes. He said, it is so daily. I found out it was really daily. Terry was our TV producer and editor and swept the floors in the studio and everything else. My daughter, Terry. And I went in to do broadcasts. I was so tired and so exhausted. I just, for a good little bit, I just sat there and looked at the camera. I would have preached if there had been anything in there. I was in my place. I was ready to preach. I just sat there. And finally I said, no, I'm through. I'm finished. Bye. I just left. Gloria said, I'll do it. Well, it's my turn. She's at home, and I'll do it. Yes.
Amen.
It's my turn, praise God. And she's been backing me on those broadcasts ever since. How many of you and Gloria made on Prosperity?
250.
250 broadcasts you two have made. And you know what I was doing all the time? Something else. Because see, if she hadn't stepped in there, I'd have done those 252. No. He'd have done them. George would have done. Praise God. Hey, and I might go ahead and announce now that tomorrow, you know, is day of increase. And we're going to be talking about faith for finances all day tomorrow. And so I'll start it off in the morning. And then Pastor George is going to be Gloria tomorrow afternoon. And so since she and Gloria are partners in prosperity teaching, well, he's going to be taking her place tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. There is a an in-depth revealing in this 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians that for the most part that I know anything about has been terribly overlooked. It's in beginning reading with the first verse, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now, in the Amplified translation, this phrase, which is, if you check out other translations run your references and so forth, you'll find that this is a very important phrase there. It should be there. "We do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give." This is very important. It's very important for you and I in the day in which we live. These times right now. I'm going to tell you this. I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God, that economically, economy, finances, I'm talking about in the natural world, are going to get worse before they get any better. In fact, just about everything is going to get worse before it gets any better. You know why? We live in the end times. It's getting worse, and wicked people are getting worse and worse and worse. But I'm telling you, that doesn't touch you and me when we know who we are and we have a covenant with God. Hallelujah. See, the kingdom of God is not subject to that. Unless we step out of faith and off our financial covenant with God and start acting like the world, we suffer right along beside them. God's facts and God's promises are and constitute a blood covenant in the blood of Jesus. Do you remember when God said, "Would I do anything without telling Abraham first?" Remember when he said that? And you know, then Abraham kind of got in God's face over it when he told him he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, now wait a minute. And he said, he said a phrase in there that, he had to have very strong grounds upon which to make this statement. Listen to what he said. "Would the God of heaven not do what's right?" Do you hear what he just said to God? He said, "Now, God, you're going to do the right thing about this, aren't you?" And you know, the Lord didn't chew him out, didn't get over him, not all over him or anything. Why? Because Abraham had a blood covenant with God. He had covenant rights. He had covenant rights. He had a right to say those things to God. And God intended for him to do so. That's the reason he went down there and talked to him. Amen. Well, I'm getting over into to my message tonight. My bones are on fire over this. Praise God. Well, Brother Copeland, what do you mean a blood covenant? Any promise God made in His Word, He made it based in and on blood. Amen. Any fact that He stated. See, when He said, Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, that's not a promise. That's a fact. That's already happened. But the fact that it is a fact and truth, that means it belongs to you and me because He did it for you and me. He did it for everybody. But we have taken advantage of it by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Amen. Can you see that? I have a financial covenant with Jesus. I really don't get disturbed about money. It's been a long time since I really don't have, I just don't get nervous about it. Amen. Oh, why, Brother Copeland? Because I have this book in my possession that's called New Covenant. Amen. And I found an article in this book that says, Kenneth, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way of doing it, His way of thinking. Amen. And all these things will be added to you. Amen. I have a covenant. Now, I can't go slack on His righteousness. I can't decide, well, you know, I don't know. I just don't hardly think that tithing stuff is for us today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it really don't mean a whole lot what you and I think.
No, that's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. But you see, part of that covenant, God's side of that covenant is, if I seek first His kingdom, His way of doing things, and I'm a joyful tither. I like tithing. I really love tithing. I enjoy that. But he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Oh, thank you, sir.
Amen.
Now, what am I talking about? I have tithing rights.
Amen.
I have rights and privileges that non-tithers don't have.
That's right.
It's available to them.
Amen.
But you just don't have it.
Right.
Now, God doesn't love me anymore than He loves you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, no. Well, you know, I've had, I am highly favored, youngster. No, you know what I'm talking about, the grace and the love of God, my goodness. Amen. But by seeking the kingdom of God first and doing what He says first, the reason He's saying for me to do these things is because it is in His interest to activate that covenant. Amen. It's in His interest. Why, Brother Copeland? I'm not going to tell you till tomorrow. I got to get back on track here, but we'll get into that. For additional CDs by Kenneth Copeland. No. Okay. Yeah, we'll go further into that tomorrow. But now, The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. These people in deep poverty, begging someone to allow them to give in this offering. Now, poor people don't beg to give in offerings unless something stirred them up. Huh?
Yeah.
Something stirred them up to do that. And we know it was the grace of God. Stirred them up to give.
Amen.
So there's something going on here. They're begging to get in on that offering. Now, when you stop and think about that, if you were to ask most people, I'm talking about millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of good people, born again people, love God, and would think it harsh and mean and cold-hearted to ask a poor man to give. Why? That's like a fella that said this to me. He was a missionary in the local area, and we went in there, and they had invited me to come and have a meeting in that area, and we're going towards the meeting place. He said, "Now, Brother Copeland, now I'm telling you now that these are poor, poor people." I said, "I understand that." He said, "Now I'm telling you, Brother Copeland, I'm telling you, I don't think it'd be right. Don't you be preaching that prosperity stuff now in here. These are poor, poor people. You understand?" Wow. What? Well, I mean, he meant it too. Well, of course, you know what I was going to preach when I got there, don't you? That's what you preach to poor folks. That's the gospel to the poor.
Yes, sir.
You don't go tell a poor man to stay poor. Well, see, he's thinking I'm going to go in there and I'm going to preach this prosperity stuff and then I'm going to hit him for an offering. Well, he didn't know me very well. But anyway, and I'll just go ahead and finish that. Well, I was teaching and preaching on prosperity and they started giving. I'm telling you, they started getting up out of their seats and started giving, started sowing. He's sitting there big-eyed. Amen. Because see, he didn't know they had anything to start with. You know why? Because he never preached anything to them, didn't expect them to give anything. That's the reason they stayed poor. Amen. But most people don't believe that. Most people think it would be very offensive to receive offerings among poor people. Well, let me tell you another story. Amen. My first meeting in the Navajo Nation, one of the highlights of my life. And Pastor Kenneth Bagishi was talking to me about the services, and it was their first faith convention. Praise God. And he'd been teaching the word of faith. When he came, he left the reservation and for a while, and got all excited about the word of faith, glory to God, and believing God and prospering. And he went back to Kayenta and went right out. I mean, just right out in the middle of nowhere, nothing out there. Took a board about that big and painted White Post Church on it and just stuck it in the ground and declared, "This is White Post Church right here." And just started going from Hogan to Hogan, winning souls. Glory to God. Well, by the time I got there, they'd run it about 250. And he said, "Now, Brother Copeland, let me tell you something now." He said, "This may be a little different than what you're used to." He said, "I've been teaching and so forth." And he said, now he said, "When we began," he said, "not one member in my church had a car or a truck. It either walked, rode a horse, or had a wagon. Now," he said, "everybody in my church has got either a car or a truck," praise God, "or a pickup." Amen. And he said, "Now, you're going to see people," he said, "when we receive the offering," he said, "people bring it." And he said, "Brother Kenneth, you're going to see some colored polished rocks." He said, "You're going to see other handmade things." He said, you're going to see freshly washed and ironed shirts that someone is giving. And he said, "I just wanted you to know you're allowed to see anything in those baskets up there." He said, "Well, I wanted you to know where they came from." He said, and I told him, I said, Kenneth, can I tell you something? I said, "When I first got into this, I didn't have anything." I made a promise to God. I would never let an offering go by that I didn't put something in it. This is an opportunity here. And I said, "There's times you just pull a button off your shirt and put it in there and believe God." Hallelujah. The day my first partner service in an Oral Roberts meeting, I drove him to the meeting. And man, I heard that partner message. Glory to God. I wanted to be a partner so bad. Oh, no money here or anywhere else, you know. And so I said, "Lord, help me here." Well, they had envelopes with little wooden pencils in them. Some of you are old enough to remember those little church pencils about that long. And I'm filling out my envelope. I said, "Lord, I put in $10 a month. Lord, this pencil represents my $10. And I stuck a pencil in there and put it in the offering. And I started, I got to hurry because he's through preaching and I got to drive the car. And so I'm headed out. Just I turned my back. There's a woman in back about two rows said, "Hey," I mean loud. I stopped. "Hey, you." I turned around. "Me?" "Yeah, you." Well, we're in deep southern United States. We're in the state of Georgia. She said, "The Lord been wearing me this whole me." You know what a weary wart is? I'm so far north, I doubt seriously if you know what a worry. Have you raised children? Anybody that's had children? Remember when they were 2 1/2? That's a worry wart. "What, Daddy? What? How? When? Where? Why? 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 No. Why? Then? What? Here? Now? Where?" Are there rabbits in heaven? Can dogs speak in tongues? You know, that's a worry word. She said, "The Lord been aware what made this whole meeting to give you $10. I said, "Oh, lady, hand it here quick." And I caught the usher, got my envelope, put the pencil in my pocket, stuck my $10. I'm a partner. Glory to God. Amen. And I went home and told Gloria, I said, Gloria, we're a partner with Oral Roberts Ministries for $10 a month. Glory to God. She said, her feathers kind of fell. She said, where are we ever going to get $10 a month? She didn't hear the message. I said, sit down, girl. And I preached it just as close as I could to what I'd heard Brother Roberts preach. And this is what's so exciting. I said, Gloria, we can have Oral Roberts anointing for $10 a month. She said, okay. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's a total concept change in reverse. Now you can see what happened here and what came out of this. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth what happened in Macedonia. So now notice this. In verse 7, therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, utterance, and knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us or love for the ministry, see that you abound in this grace also. So here are graces. That you abound, therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, your love to us. So five graces that they were abounding in. He said, see that you abound in this grace also in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you might through his poverty become rich. Now, Jesus was never poor at all in his earthly ministry. Never. Never, never, never. Poor people don't need a treasurer. Judas was treasurer of that ministry. So when did he become poor? He was made poor when he was made to be a curse for us. And poverty is under the curse of the law. The threefold cord of the curse of the law, the curse for breaking the law. Death, spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and debt, all under that curse. And he became a curse for us. So, why? So that we could become, he became as poor as the poorest so that we could become as rich as he is. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's shouting ground, brother. I mean, that's shouting ground. Now then, I want you to see something here. Why did God need these people? Why did he arouse them by his grace to give? Because there was famine in the land. Do you remember when there was famine in the land and Isaac started to go to Egypt like Abraham had done before him. And God appeared to him and said, no, don't go. I want you to stay here. And he stayed. And God said, I will bless you here. And he sowed in famine. And he reaped 100-fold. Now, not only that, he drilled and got water. And somebody took it away from him. So he drilled again and hit water. And someone took it away from him. So he drilled again and hit water again and again. Now, if you'll study this and study into it in and about it in Jewish history, you'll find these two things that are extremely important to know this. One, he began to prosper so greatly that in the Chumash, it makes the statement that his estate got bigger than the king's. And the fruit trees began to blossom and produce again. The crops began to grow again. How? Off his water. Isn't that interesting? Off his water. Well, then the king and came to him and said, well, you can go on now. You can go on and leave now. It's obvious when they ran him off and took his property, they thought the famine was over. But it wasn't. The blessing had just removed it temporarily. It was still there. And here again, when you study Jewish history, most particularly the Chumash, where this information is, they said, suddenly the trees died. The crops died. What happened? The man, Isaac, upon whom is the blessing of the Lord, is now gone out of the land. So the blessing left. With the blessing gone, the trees died again, the crops dried again, and the well dried up. Well, they saw, uh-oh, we done messed up here, brother. We need to go get this man back. So they went back and made a covenant with him and made a military guarantee and promise that nobody would take anything away from him again if he'd just come back. When he came back, and I think that, you know, God is so cool, man. I mean, his timing is spot on, brother. And I mean, they've signed their deal and in comes this guy running. Hey, boss. We hit water again over here. Right in the middle of the whole covenant deal and everything, somebody comes running in and saying, we did it again. Amen. And it's good. But can you see why grace is arousing? The blessing is in these people. They've got the blessing of the Lord in them. Amen. The blessing of Abraham is in them and on them. Listen, there's power in these people. There's faith in these people. The power here to stop this famine. But they needed to initiate it by believing God and obeying God and sowing what they needed to sow. That's what's behind that grace. God needed them. They need God? Well, of course, they need God. Well, why does God need them? Well, let me ask you this. I'm kind of glad you asked that question. Let me ask you this. Why didn't God just say, well, I'm going to stop that famine? Do you know he doesn't have any right to do that? He does not have right. He does not have the right to just come in and just butt in on earth's affairs, because he has given responsibility in this earth to the body of Christ. Well, I just don't see how come God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. Well, you know, God is in control. Well, yes, he is, but he's not in control of everybody. He's not running this thing. Well, I thought he was. Well, then he's sure doing a lousy job of it. See, God is not running the world. No, he's not running the world. He's not boss of the world. He's boss of the church. And there's a whole lot of that they won't let him run.
Amen.
Because there's so much of the church letting the world run their business. No, God is boss over the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And if we'll let him run it, things shall run a whole lot better. Glory to God. But it's when you and me, it's when we make ourselves available. And if we will allow his grace to motivate us, then the blessing comes through us and around us and will work out from us into the nations. Glory to God. That's the way it works. And I'm going to tell you again, I've said it over and over. I've said it by the Spirit of God. And once I found it out, I've said it over and over and over on my own. In these last days, God is going to bless First Nations people, and God is going to bless the people that have been last in the past. He's going to bless them so much. He's going to bless them until the blessing of the Lord flows and flows and flows. That's going to change the status of things. It's already doing it. It is already doing it right now. And we haven't seen anything yet. Glory to God. Father, we pray over tonight's offering. I'm asking you to reveal to the people what you would have them to know and understand. I'm asking you to reveal to them, please, what their part of this offering is tonight. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, I declare the anointing of increase over them and over what they sow, and we receive it and bless it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you, and we worship you in Jesus' name. We praise you, and let's just praise God for a few moments. Praise him and worship him. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.